But I want to turn your attention to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. And I want to say to the chorale that sang here tonight, thank you for that song. And it just fits perfect with what I'm going to preach tonight. And you started singing it, and I just thought to myself, now, that just fits perfect. And so we give thanks to God for that. Good to see each and every one of you here today. Amen. It's good to see Ruthie here today. Amen. And she says she's just going to make this home. Amen. We know that God's got good things in store for her, just like God has great things in store for us. Praise the Lord. So from the book of Acts, chapter number 2, we're going to start at verse number 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. Now, what we have read there is an extreme amount of content. And I don't want to get into all of it. We will briefly touch a few things of it. But there is so much here. And this is the pattern. This is the pattern of the new church, the beginning of the church. And we are patterning ourselves after that. And I want to preach something. I guess it kind of all just fits. I said I want to come back here and preach revival again. And I feel led of the Lord to preach this. I really, really do. And so I have preached this many, many times. And so I have prayed over it again today that God would baptize it again with His favor. I'm not just preaching this message because I need something to preach. I'm preaching this message because I feel it's right. And I preach this all over the country. And so I want to preach it here tonight. I'm going to preach to you this thought. Absolutely apostolic, passionately Pentecostal. Amen. Absolutely apostolic and passionately Pentecostal. Hallelujah. Let's help the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. Heavenly Father, we're so in need of you. We can do nothing without you, Jesus. We lean upon you for all things. We lean upon you, God, for guidance, for direction, Lord Jesus, for the input. We're praying, God, that you would minister and that you would move through this place, God, and that you would let that spirit, that same spirit, God, that rose, that caused you to raise from the dead, that same spirit that will quicken our mortal bodies. Lord, we're asking you, Jesus, to let that same spirit, God, that flowed through the upper room on the day of Pentecost, we're asking you, sweet Jesus, to let that run through this place, flow through this house. God, from the front to the back, from side to side, touching every heart, touching every soul. Ignite a fire of faith, I pray, in this place today, Jesus. Let faith arise in this house, O Lord God, and we will be quick to praise you and to glorify you in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And everyone said amen. 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 God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And let me just point out something for the sake of it. And we kind of talked about it a little bit this morning, but here you have the apostles' doctrine. And so they are teaching, and they are in fellowship. And they saw a lot of things happen, transpire. But they was a result of the doctrine. It was a result of the teaching. And so they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. Amen. Fellowship is extremely important. Praise God. I said fellowship is extremely important. Amen. You see somebody that starts cutting off the fellowship of the church, and I'll show you somebody that's on their way out. Amen. They don't want to fellowship with the people of God. Amen. It's not biblically sound. Amen. We continue in fellowship. The Bible said that many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And we believe in this, and we believe that these same signs ought to and should be following us as well in this day and age. Praise God. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. It's just the will of God that somebody gets saved every day. Somebody receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost every time we come to church. That is the will of God. We know that it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. And here we know that He added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Praise God. Amen. Amen. It's just the will of God for somebody to get the Holy Ghost every service. Amen. You know why somebody doesn't get the Holy Ghost every service? There's several reasons. Amen. It may be just lack of faith. But the most important thing is probably they're not here. And so how are they ever going to get here? We got to invite them. We got to bring them. We got to do something to get them to the house of God. Praise God. And so when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1 begins, they were all in one accord in one place. And so they had the unity of the Spirit. But it said when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Pentecost comes from a Greek word meaning the 50th in order. And it is the day following or the day after the Feast of Weeks, which was 7 days. 7 weeks of 7 days of feasting. So it was a party for 49 days. And not necessarily a party, but it was a festival. There was a lot of things that was happening in those 49 days. But on day 50 was Pentecost. And Pentecost was the 50th day after Passover. And so the day of Pentecost had come, and it had gone for some 1,500 years before this. But now the Bible says that Pentecost was fully come. Amen. Or in other words, Pentecost had come to stay this time. In the day, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Amen. In other words, that which it was meant to be became at this moment, and it was to never depart from them. The Bible says that there in Jerusalem were dwelling devout men out of every nation under heaven. And they had all made their journey to Jerusalem for a religious reason. These were devout men. They were pious men. They were religious men. And they had come to Jerusalem to celebrate or to participate in the Feast of Weeks and then on the day of Pentecost. And we would see that when Peter preached unto these devout religious people, that these devout religious people lifted up their voice in verse number 37 of chapter number 2 and said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Amen. And so we see that the religious people saw that there was some type of need, that there was something that they had to do. And they were pricked in their hearts. And Peter, when he heard this, stood up and he told them that they should repent of their sins and they should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and that they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise was unto them, unto the religious people who did not have the promise at that moment, but the promise was unto them. It was unto their children and unto their children's children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. And he said, with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." And then the Bible said that they, which would be the religious and the devout individuals, that gladly received his word. And so the religious people of that day and age had to receive the word of God. And the Bible said that the religious people were baptized on the same day, and there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And so the first church was marked by a few different things, but first and foremost was the brand of truth. And the Bible continues on here, and as we have just walked our way through chapter number 2,
The Bible says in verse number 42 that they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Amen. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. This tells me that salvation is more than just an experience. Salvation is more than just a one-time thing, because these devout people, first of all, they needed the Holy Ghost. Just being religious is not going to be good enough. We could go over to Acts chapter number 8 and we could see that feeling great joy is not good enough. You need the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. And when you get the Holy Ghost, it'll change you. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said that they continued in the apostles' doctrine. It was not a once and done thing. They did not receive the Holy Ghost and then go on their merry way and do whatsoever they wanted to do. But they continued in the apostles' doctrine. I do not believe that it was an accident that the apostles' doctrine was mentioned first. Amen. I am of the persuasion that the Bible says what it means. And I am of the persuasion, amen, that it is written by the inspired word of God. Amen. That God moved upon all of them to write it in the way that they wrote it. And I believe that it is in the precise order that God wanted it to be in. For instance, Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, amen, and full of darkness, and God moved upon the face of the waters. And so, number one, God's Spirit began to move, and then when God's Spirit moved, He began to speak, and then when He began to speak, things began to happen. There's so many people that want things to happen, and they don't want His Spirit moving. There's a lot of people that want God to speak, amen, but they don't want His Spirit moving. God's Spirit has got to move. That is the order of a church service. We've got to get the Spirit of God to move amongst us by creating an atmosphere, and then God can speak through the preached word of God, and then when God speaks, things begins to happen. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. A lot of people want joy, but they don't want righteousness. They want peace, but they don't want righteousness. I submit to you today that you need righteousness first. And when you get righteousness, peace, amen, will soon follow after that. And when you get the peace of God about you and amongst your brethren and your sisters, amen, you will have the joy of the Lord, and it will be your strength. If you don't have joy in your walk, amen, go back and check the sequence. Are you living righteously? If you're not living righteously, check it out and fix it. And then if you still don't have joy, then there is a problem with fellowship. There is a problem amongst the brethren. There is a problem with the peace that should be in your life. And when you get that fixed, I promise you, the joy of the Lord will return back unto you. You'll enjoy coming to church. Well, praise God, that was free, but that's okay.
That's just good apostles' doctrine. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so the Bible continues here and said that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We need the doctrine. Amen. We need strong doctrine. Amen. I'm not interested in straighter than straight doctrine. It's either straight or it's crooked. Amen. The doctrine doesn't need improved upon. Amen. It doesn't need honed down and things shaved off of it. It doesn't need things added to it. For he that addeth to it or taketh away from it, the Bible said that his name shall be taken out of the book of life. He'll be found as a liar. But we need the apostles' doctrine. We need the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen. God give us that mentality. Amen. That receptive spirit that says, God, whatever you've got for me, I want it. And if it doesn't rub me the right way, then help me to change. But it is strong doctrine. It is true doctrine that is going to save our souls. I want preaching. I want teaching. I want the truth. I want the truth of God in everything. For it is the truth that is going to set us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Not partial truth, not a little truth. Amen. We need the whole truth. And the whole truth may rub us wrong some ways, but I'm telling you, it'll get you to heaven. I said it'll get you to heaven. I submit to you today that right is right and wrong is wrong. I submit to you today, amen, that the Bible does not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God said it, it's not up to us to believe it, to settle it. It's already settled in heaven and earth. It's just up to us to believe what is already settled. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many times have we heard the phrase, if Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Jesus doesn't need you to believe it for it to be settled. Amen. The Bible said that it is settled. Amen. That though the grass would wither and the flower would fade, the word of God shall stand forever. Even though heaven and earth would pass away, the word of God will never pass away. It shall be forever. If it was good enough for Peter, it's good enough for us. If it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for us. Don't give me the stuff. Well, I just don't believe that. Or I think that that's just for them back then, and it's not for us here. Who made you the author? Who made you the one that decides anything? If God said it, that settles it. I've got to believe it. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Somebody said, well, I believe that that was just for the Bible days and it's not for us. Then you're telling me that God is a respecter of person. Because why does God require Peter and Paul and Timothy and Titus and all of those in the Bible days, why does he require something of them that he don't require of me? And if he doesn't require it of me, can you give me date of when he said, now you only have to do this until 100 BC or AD. You only have to do this until, you know, 365 AD, 325 AD. And then after 325 AD, things change. Where's that in Scripture? That's not. I'm telling you, if God's going to hold Peter and Paul accountable for it, he's going to hold me accountable for it. And he's going to hold you accountable for it. Praise God. Amen. In all of the epistles, the precepts come before the practice. Our experience is a reflection of our doctrine, rather than our doctrine being a reflection of our experience. Pentecost is an experience. Praise God. But then in Ephesians chapter number 2, he said, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The word apostle, we know what the apostle is, but that's where we get our word from, apostolic. And apostolic simply means pertaining or relating to the apostles, as in the apostolic age. It means according to the doctrine of the apostles, delivered or taught by the apostles, as in apostolic faith or practice. And so that's why we call ourselves apostolic, because we pattern ourselves after the doctrine of the apostles. Or in other words, we pattern ourselves after what the apostles preached, after what the apostles taught. And we know that they taught what Jesus taught. Amen. Some people said, I'd rather take the words of Jesus than the words of Peter. And Peter said, you must repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. And Jesus said that it doesn't really matter, that you can be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What a false lie. What a twisted concept. Because the same recording is given to us in Luke chapter number 24, verse 47, 48, and 49, that it behooved Christ to suffer and to die on the third day, that repentance and remission of sin. Somebody say baptism. That's what baptism is. It is the remission of sins. And what did Luke say? He said that that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Amen. So who has it right, Matthew or Luke? I'm telling you, they all got it right. Because the name of the Father is Jesus. And the name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Amen. I like to say it just a little bit more plain. Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Amen. He encapsulates all these offices in one. For, amen, even all of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. Amen. But I want to ask you today, amen, if Paul or if Peter said in Acts 2 and I believe it's 21, that all that would call upon the name of Jesus would be saved. But Jesus said, amen, he that saith Lord, Lord, not everyone that saith Lord, Lord, shall be saved. So whose word are you going to take, Peter's or Jesus's? Jesus or Peter? Amen. This isn't a buffet that you get to pick and choose what you're going to decide. Well, I want Jesus's word over here, and I want Peter's word over here, and I'll take Paul's word over here, and I'll just believe my own thing over here. No, you got to take the whole counsel of God. You need all of the truth, for it is all of the truth that shall make you free. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm absolutely apostolic. I don't make excuses for the things that I believe. I am not ashamed of the things that I believed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God, even unto salvation. This gospel is able to save from the guttermost unto the uttermost. This gospel is able to save, amen, the poor and the rich. This gospel is able to save the weak and the strong. This gospel is able to save those that don't know anything and those that profess they know everything. This gospel will make straight the prolific. This gospel will set free the addict. This gospel will deliver those that are bound. You know how it does it. You gotta preach the gospel. You gotta preach the gospel. You can't back up. You can't shave it down. Just preach the word, and it will work every time. Oh, somebody give praise unto the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm not afraid of preaching holiness. Amen. For I believe in holiness from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I'm not afraid of our dress code. I'm not afraid of our righteous living. I'm not afraid or ashamed of dressing the way that I dress and of living the way that I live. You're talking to an old-time apostolic preacher that one day I heard a preacher stand up and he preached the clothesline from A unto Z. We had 10 people get the Holy Ghost in that message. You know why? Because people want something that works. They want something that's different. They're tired of a watered-down gospel. They're tired of a weak gospel. They're tired of something that doesn't work. Tell them the truth. Tell them why you believe it. Be absolutely apostolic. Be absolutely apostolic. Apostolic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're living in a day and age where the pressure is on for us to water down and to compromise so our churches can grow. Who cares if you got 5,000 and they're lost and on their way to hell? Preach the truth. It'll set everybody free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You gotta believe that there is one God, and in him there is no other. There is no other Savior. There is no other deliverer. He is the one and the only God. Jesus said, except that you believe that I am he, you will all likewise perish. But the worst, this isn't a matter of semantics. Amen. We don't believe in the same God that the Trinitarians believe in. And the Trinitarians don't believe in the same God that we believe in. Somebody's got to be right, and somebody's got to be wrong. I just got a revelation that I
I'm right, and I'm on my way to heaven. I've searched through the Bible, and the word Trinity isn't even in the Bible, but one God is expounded over and over. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all.
Amen. I believe in the essentiality of baptism. And baptism is in the only name of Jesus Christ. Somebody said it doesn't matter just as long as you're baptized. It does matter. If you're not baptized in the name of Jesus, all you did was get wet. I'll take it a step further. If you don't repent of your sins and you get baptized in Jesus' name, you need to be baptized again. Because baptism is for the repentant of sins. It is for the remission of sins. It is for the sins that you repented of. Amen. All of this stuff. Amen. Promoting baptism just so that we can say we baptized 15 this month. Amen. That's hogwash. Amen. You got to have them to repent of their sins. And when a man repents of their sins, they ought to stop doing the things that they're doing. Hey, I'm telling you, this old-fashioned gospel, it works. You've come too late to tell me that it doesn't work. Amen. When a man repents of their sin, they ought to stop sinning.
Well, glory. Somebody said, if they repent of their sins and they don't have the Holy Ghost, how can they stop sinning? Very easily. They just stop sinning. I understand that they may be addicted, but I want you to know that from the best of their ability, they ought to try to live right just like you and I do. They may not have the power in them to do as we do. But don't come up here and say, God, forgive me of fornication, and then go jump back in a bed of fornication. Don't say, God, forgive me of adultery, amen, and then go jump back in a bed of adultery. Don't say, God, forgive me of lying, and then go continue your lying. You're not sorry. You're not sorry. You need to come up here and say, God, forgive me of lying. And then you need to cease lying. You need to stop lying. Praise God. That's what repentance is. Repentance is a military term saying doing about face and going the other way. Somebody's got a false mentality, a false imagination that says, well, I can repent of my sins and continue in my sins until I get the Holy Ghost. You're probably not going to get the Holy Ghost because you really aren't repentant. Because repentance is saying, I am sorry for the things that I have done. And I have no intentions of doing these things again. I'm going to live my life to the fullest and to the best of my ability, free from sin. If you would help me, God, when you repent like that, I'm here to tell you there is a God that'll step down and will reach down his hand. And he said, I will help you. And he'll pick you up out of the miry clay. He'll put you on the rock to stay. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost, and you'll never feel the same way again.
Well, it got a little tight. But that's what repentance is. We believe in the essentiality of baptism. We believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you'll speak with other tongues. We believe in tongue talking. The Holy Ghost is a sign, amen. Speaking in tongues is the sign of the Holy Ghost. Tongues isn't necessarily the Holy Ghost. But when you get the Spirit of God, you will speak in tongues. Tongues is for a sign, not for them that believe, but for them that believe not. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Amen. That's what tongues is for. Prophesying serveth not to the unbeliever, but to the believer. Praise God. We understand that these things, the Bible teaches us in the book of Acts chapter number 10, when the Gentiles received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said they knew they had the Holy Ghost for they heard them speak with tongues. Say, no, that's just for the Bible days. That's just for the Bible days. Well, I tell you what, if you can show me book, chapter, and verse for that, we'll converse. It's not there.
It's not there. Praise God. Praise God. We believe in holiness. Amen. We believe in holiness. We still preach that our women shouldn't cut their hair. We still preach that women shouldn't wear pants. We still preach that men shouldn't wear dresses. We still preach in modesty. Amen. We preach in modesty. Amen. We preach in modesty. Amen. We don't expose our bodies in an ungodly fashion or manner. Amen. We don't dress too tight. Amen. We're not seductive in our dress. Amen. But we're also not immodest in our dress. Praise God. Amen. These things is what keeps us different. If you got a problem with separation, then you have a problem with God. For in the book of Exodus, I believe it's chapter number 33, where, amen, God said that he called his people to be different from every people upon the face of the earth. You are a royal priesthood. Amen. You are a peculiar people. Amen. We are peculiar. But friend, in being peculiar, we are also royal. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to be royal of the royal line and, amen, of royal blood. I'm thankful for that. Praise God. How many people do you see walking around with a crown on their head like Queen Elizabeth would do? Amen. You know why they don't? Because they're not royal. And I understand that Kate and all the others, and I don't even understand all that stuff. I'm in way over my head right now. Amen. But, amen, they represent the kingdom. They represent, amen, royalty. Amen. And so Queen Elizabeth has a problem, amen, with the way that they would dress. Oh, yeah, I didn't go read it all and stuff, and I have no intentions of reading it all, but I'm telling you, I kind of read some headlines, and Queen Elizabeth had a problem with what Meghan Markle wore. Because it didn't represent the kingdom well. Amen. But she thought that she was better than Miss, whatever her name is, Kate Middleton, or whatever her name is. I don't know. But she represented the kingdom better. But she was too conservative. And she was old-fashioned. But old-fashioned is what the queen wants. Old-fashioned represents the, amen, the kingdom better. Amen. We're not here to be old-fashioned, but we are a representation of the kingdom. Praise God. What you wear ought to represent the kingdom. Amen. Who you are, amen. What you wear speaks of who you are. Amen. And we want to make sure that we represent the kingdom well. Hallelujah. We are absolutely apostolic. Praise God. Some people may call it old fuddy-duddies. Some people may call it, amen, whatever you want to call it. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's right. It's godly. Praise God. I could preach it for a long period of time. But I want you to know that God hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called us out of the world. He told us to separate ourselves and to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I love this way. I love this way. I love this way. I love this way. I love living like this. I love dressing like this. Hallelujah. It's the godly way. It's the right way. Amen. It gives us power. I said it gives us power like none other. Praise God. Absolutely. Absolutely apostolic. Amen. There was a man that came unto Peter by the name of Simon. And he said, I see you laying hands on everybody. And I see all these things being done. And I see all these healings and stuff. And so he whips out his wallet. And I won't embarrass myself by whipping out my flimsy one. And but he whips out his wallet. And he starts showing out the cash. He said, how much? Tell me, how much? I want to be apostolic was what he was saying. Oh yeah, that's what he was saying. He is talking to the apostle Peter. Amen. He saw Peter laying hands on people. And he said, how much that I can lay hands on people and that they would receive their healings? How much? What do I have to pay to be apostolic? Peter said, your money perishes with you. You don't have enough money to buy this power. You don't have enough money, amen, to do this. Praise God. God help me here tonight. But how many churches are there out there in this world that are doing their best to be copycats of Pentecost? Used to not be that way. Used to be that we were the ones, we were the holy rollers, we were the mocked, we were the ones that was made fun of, we were the ones that was laughed at, we were the ones that were scorned, we were the ones, amen, but today they run 15, 20,000, they run in the thousands, they run in the hundreds, amen, they do all these things, and all trying to be an apostolic, and they're not apostolic. Trying to do, amen, everything that, amen, wanting to imitate and reflect who we are and what we are, but they don't want what we have. Or let me rephrase that. They want what we have, but they don't want to do what we do in order to have what we have. Amen. They don't want to stop sinning. They don't want to stop smoking cigarettes. They don't want to stop their drinking. They don't want to stop their cussing. They don't want to stop carousing around. They don't want to stop, amen, all of their illicit lifestyles. They don't want to stop any of that. They still want to be able to go to the bars. They still want to be able to honky-tonk. They still want to go to the dance floors. They still want to do all of those other things. They want to live how they want to live, but they want what we have. And so they have their charlatans and Benny Hinn that comes by and breathes upon them if they pay a big enough offering. Amen. And they have all of these other things and professing. Oh, my Lord Jesus, help me God. I was in a service many, many years ago, and there was this man. It was a Pentecostal service too, but I was in this service, and there was this man, and he was professing to be a healer, amen. And so he was saying, you know, if you need your healing, then you need to come up. And so these people began to come up, and he looked out across the congregation. And he saw this man over here, and he said, yeah, sir, you, right there. God spoke to me and told me that He had healed you, and of whatever it is that you've gotten. God's healed you, and you don't have to worry about that anymore. And you know what? There was a lady that was sitting about two, maybe three people over from him, and she was all hunched over, and she couldn't even straighten up and look. But he didn't see her. He wasn't willing to speak to her and tell her that God was going to cure her of her crippleness. God was going to straighten her up, amen. But somebody, amen, that didn't have any ailments or didn't even look like they had ailments, he spoke to them and got them healed. And then he went over here to this man that was standing over here. And he started praying for this man, and he did his little thing and stuff, and he was praying for him, and he stepped back, amen, and he walked off, and he came back to this man. He put the microphone right in the man's mouth, and he told this man, he said, God spoke to me and told me that He had healed you of your infirmity. I want you to tell the congregation what infirmity you had. And he stuck the microphone up there for the man to speak it, and the man looked at him and shrugged his shoulders and said, I came up here for my wife. She's the one that needs healing. What about the man that got to preaching? All of a sudden he stopped, looked at a lady sitting on the front row, and he said, God tell me to tell you that your refrigerator just stopped working. And then he went on to preaching. This woman was all scared and oh God. He got to preaching along and stuff, and he was preaching stuff, and all of a sudden he just stopped again. God told me to tell you that your refrigerator just started working. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. Same man looked at somebody, looked at another lady, and he said, God told me to tell you that your sister that lives in Chicago is needing prayer, and that God has heard your prayer, and that God's going to answer through all of that. And she went to, woo, Jesus, Jesus. Her neighbor next to her said, you don't even have a sister. But in all of this foolishness that is going around, she looked at that lady and said, if the man of God said, I have a sister, then I have a sister, and she's in Chicago, and furthermore, I'll be worried about her. That's foolishness. But that's the foolishness that's running around trying to imitate what we have. If God said it, it'll happen. But if God didn't say it, then it's not going to happen. Praise God. I want to be absolutely apostolic. And if God said it, I want to stand on His word and say, thus saith the word of God. And stand back and watch it come to pass. There's nothing wrong with being apostolic. You young boys, stand up and be proud to be apostolic. You young ladies, do the exact same. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed of what you look like. You stand up. The world is sick, amen, of all the false advertisement. They want something that's real. Praise God. Absolutely apostolic. And I want to be passionately Pentecostal. I'm coming to a close tonight. The musicians would come. I'm coming to a close here today. I want to be absolutely apostolic. I want to be passionately Pentecostal. I want to be passionate about this gospel. I want to be passionate about our form of worship. I want to be passionate about revival. I want to be passionate about reaching out for people. I want to be passionate to teach people. I want to be passionate about winning souls to Jesus Christ. I want to be passionate in worship. I want to be demonstrative in our worship. Amen. That's what Pentecost is. Pentecost is an experience of hallelujah. There's too many people and they can't call themselves Pentecostal because they've never had the experience of the day of Pentecost. It is the likening as of that which happened on Pentecost when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Church, this is who we are. Church, this is what we are. We're not ashamed of being apostolic. We're not ashamed of being Pentecostal. Amen. We wear amen, with something just under pride, but we can stand up and say we are children of the King. And my friend, when we stand for God, God will stand for us. I said God will stand for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, come on. Three Hebrew children being thrown into a fiery furnace. But they said, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. They said, we will not bow. I don't think they were the only Jews in Babylon, Brother Worth. If my Bible teaches me correct, there was a whole lot of other Jews. But there were three. There were three that said, if everybody else wants to do it, I'm not going to bow under the pressure. I'm going to stand for Jesus. We're going to give you one more opportunity to sit down. We're going to give you one opportunity to act like everybody else. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, oh King, we are not careful to answer you. And if our God, amen, lets us go into the fire and be consumed, then here we go. But if not, there ain't a hot enough fire that can burn us out. But listen, King, we're not bowing down. We're not bowing down to compromise. We're not bowing down to the pressures of the world. We're not bowing down to anything. We're going to stand and we're going to be Pentecostal from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Daniel, if you pray, you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. That was a decree that was throughout all of the land. But I know that they had Daniel under the microscope and they were focused on Daniel. But it didn't matter to Daniel. Daniel just thought to himself, I am who I am and I have no intentions of changing. And he went to his chambers and he opened his window again and he prayed three times a day just like he had always done. He believed in who he was. He believed in what he did. He believed in the God that he served. He said, I am what I am. If you're Pentecost, be Pentecost. If you're apostolic, be apostolic. But don't have just a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. Hallelujah! I believe in our kids being apostolic. I believe in our kids worshiping. I believe in our young couples worshiping. I believe in our elderly couples worshiping. We are Pentecostal.